Stay tuned for Bob Benyart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Benyart with our Denver Bible Church update. This Sunday will be our Christmas service, and you're invited. We'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Let's read some of this together here. Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, this guy, Caesar Augustus, he was pretty tough, right? Isn't he the Caesar that defeated Mark Antony and Cleopatra at a naval battle in the Mediterranean, destroyed Egypt's navy and Mark Antony, the Roman generals? He defeated them and then took over Egypt. That's Caesar Augustus. He was a tough ruler. And if he said all the world should be registered, that is, take a census, everybody has to go to their hometown to be registered, then you better believe it that pretty much everybody's going to go to their hometown and be registered. And so the decree went out from Caesar Augustus, and this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered to his own city. Now that's fascinating, because back 1,000 years earlier in Psalm 87, we read that the Messiah would be born when the Lord registers the people. That the Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Well, born where? Well, born in the same city that other guy was born in. What other guy? King David was born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and that's the city that Jesus was born in. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 tells us that the eternal one would be born in Bethlehem, the one whose going forth is from old, from everlasting. And so we're reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. So Joseph was a descendant of David, as was Mary, by the way, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So they were not married. This was a virgin birth, as was prophesied, 600 years later by Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that a virgin would conceive and bear a child whose name would be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Jesus had to be born of a virgin, because the sin, the fallen sin nature, the flesh, comes through the father and not the mother. That soul spirit, that part of us that inherits sin and death, comes through the father. And so that's why Jesus could not have an earthly father. God overshadowed Mary and conceived in her womb the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our creator, God the Son. So it was while they were there, that's in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Isn't that amazing? Jesus was born basically in a stable or in a barn. And Jesus Christ was born to be the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. He was the sacrifice, and for 4,000 years, the world had been doing animal sacrifices pointing to Jesus Christ, and here he is born with the animals in a stable, which shows us, even at his very birth, reminds us why he came. He came to be the sacrifice, to shed his blood and to die, but then he didn't stay in the grave because he was raised from the dead. So we're inviting you to come on out to Denver Bible Church this Sunday. Celebrate the Lord's birth with us. We're at Hampton and Wadsworth. Call for directions or check us out on the web. Now stay tuned for Bob Benyart Live. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyer, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYER. That's 1-800-836-9278. Hey, I have to thank Jason Troyer and Jonathan Miller. They just finished wiring up our amplifier for the worship team at church. Thank you, guys. They're probably fighting traffic right now on C-470. But Sunday morning, come time to worship the Lord for our Christmas service. It'll be worth it, guys, all your hard work today. Thank you. Let's see. What's the good news out there? It's Christmas time. We should have good news. Well, we got the Democrats that are scared to death. Still, even since yesterday, Democrats scared to death that we'll capture Osama bin Laden. Isn't that so funny? They're scared to death. It's almost like you'd think that the Democratic National Committee would probably give Osama bin Laden $1 million just to stay hidden till after the election. Could you please stay out of sight? They'd probably dig him his own spider hole if it would help us not capture him. Could you imagine what the Democrats would do if we captured UBL, Osama bin Laden? They would be just freaked out. They would be beside themselves. All right. But at any rate, basically more interesting news. Gaddafi, the leader of Libya, the terrorist leader that Ronald Reagan basically, Ronald Reagan, when he bombed Gaddafi's capital back in the 80s, basically took Gaddafi out of action for 20 years, going from a terrorist who would shoot American planes out of the air to pretty quiet. And now, with George W. Bush in the White House, mopping up the terrorists in Afghanistan and pulling Saddam Hussein out of the rat hole in Iraq. Now, Gaddafi in Libya has said that, yes, he has been developing weapons of mass destruction over the previous years, but he's no longer going to do that. And he's inviting international weapons inspectors into his country in order to see that they're dismantling the program and that it would all be transparent and verifiable. And he's not going to make any missiles that could reach Israel. He's just going to be a nice little boy in Libya and be a good neighbor. And that's great. Isn't that great? That's exactly what you want terrorist leaders. That's how you want them to respond. And so he's responding well. And that's great. We're glad to hear it. Glad to see it, Gaddafi. Keep it up, your meek little self. All right. Our phone number here, by the way, is 1-800-8-INYER. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, ABC News is reporting that U.S. intelligence has learned of a possible female suicide bomber to target New York City. Now, these things are typically not, you know, leaks like this are typically not concrete. They're typically not actual forecasters of what is really going to happen. But oftentimes, you know, the intelligence community picks up messages, whether they're real, fake, misunderstood. And so now authorities are evaluating a surge of information, according to ABC News, related to possible terrorist threats to a number of cities in the United States, including New York City, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C. Threat information is coming from intelligence intercepts, interrogation of recent detainees, and other methods. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278 in Denver. James, speak your mind.
Bob?
Hello, James. Yes.
Yeah, how you doing, Bob? I love your show, and I love you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. More power to you. Keep speaking the truth. I would just like to recommend something in general.
Yeah.
And it's in reference to sins, right? Okay?
In reference to sin.
Right.
All right.
Okay, now, I've had a problem with sexual sins for a long time, but I consider myself a believer in Christ.
Right.
Okay, now, I think that pastors should address these sins, one of them being masturbation. You never hear a pastor talk about that, and if it's a sin or not.
Well, and James, it, even on this show and at Denver Bible Church, there are certain things we could talk about, all kinds of explicit sexual behaviors that in polite society normally you don't talk about. And you read through the Bible, and the Bible, you might argue, but it doesn't mention that. And I think it doesn't need to. I think that people who are wise and mature will figure out what they should and should not do. And so I wouldn't criticize a pastor for not talking about that, because at Denver Bible Church, we don't.
Do you believe it's a sin?
Well, I just said that
Let me say this, Bob. One time, yeah, I went down to Civic Center Park, and I saw my friend Doug on a bicycle, and I asked him, I said, do you think, Matt,
All right. Hey, James.
Yeah.
James, I just said I don't want to have a discussion of it.
Can I say one more thing about it?
No.
He said it's fornication.
Okay. There we go. All right. So some people, you know, and not that James is this, but over the years that I've been a Christian, I've met a handful of Christians who have been obsessed that they want to talk about that topic. And the more public, the better. The more people in the audience, the better. It's like I'm talking to Dr. Ruth or something. And so anyway, James, if you had the opportunity to talk to me personally, we could talk, but I don't like when we have to deal with topics that are in the news that are people hurting other people with sexual crimes. I don't even like to talk about that in public, but we're compelled to. So anyway, James, try another topic sometime. All right? Thank you for your call. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, let's see. So where were we? Where were we? All right. Oh, yeah, we were with ABC News. And this female suicide bomber in New York City. We'll see. We'll read you more of that story right after this.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty, and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Hi, this is Bob Inyart with a live commercial break. Let me tell you about our subscription services. We have got a monthly Bible study album that once a month you get delivered to your home by the U.S. mail. A Bible study album of audio tapes going through books of the Bible, different topics. Really fun. And we have, that's $34.95 a month. Usually you get 6 Bible study tapes in the album case. We also have the monthly video, which is $24.95 a month. And the monthly video, that, you know, we have the neatest videos to strengthen a Christian's faith, to teach us how to witness, going through all kinds of issues like sexual immorality, divorce and remarriage, predestination, Israel, the resurrection, right and wrong, does God exist? We've got so many fun videos. Most of them we produced, a few are third party. Then we've got the monthly Sunday sermons. If you can't make it to Denver Bible Church, but you'd like to hear the sermons, well, you could subscribe to that. It's the same price as the video subscription, $24.95 a month. Or the monthly Best of Bob, the 8 best shows of the month for $49.95. Now, some people give that as a gift to somebody who can't tune in so that they keep in touch with what's going on here. We're back. Bob and you're live. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Parker, Colorado. And Dennis, speak your mind.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing well, sir.
I'll try to keep the topic a little cleaner.
Thank you. Thank you.
this little speech that Sharon gave about dividing.
Right.
I support a division like that.
Mm-hmm.
My question, and I just want to get your take on it. Why should Israel conform to the United States, and why shouldn't they off Yasser Arafat?
Right.
Whether he goes down as martyrism or whatever,
yeah,
I think
right.
that it's worth it to cut the head of the snake off.
Right.
Because I think that he is, and I've felt that. For years.
Yeah, you know? Yasser Arafat is the father of modern terrorism.
Right.
And he's been supporting terrorism for decades, and he's funded suicide bombers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we have the goods on him. And so he's a terrorist. In the Bush Doctrine, if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. So that meant, for example, with the Taliban, since they were protecting Osama and Al-Qaeda— then they were guilty by association, and we destroyed the Taliban government.
Right.
And killed as many of them as we could and took their government away. And so if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Well, certainly the PLO, Yasser Arafat's government, harbors terrorists like Hamas and Islamic Jihad. But I think the Bush Doctrine would have to acknowledge that if you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Because Yasser Arafat are a terrorist. He is a terrorist.
Exactly. And if Israel has him locked up, aren't they harboring? They're not supporting him, but they're not doing anything to stop him because he still has just as much power.
I would say in that matter, I would say more that it's America that's harboring Arafat. Because we're the ones who've told Israel in no uncertain terms
there you go.
That they cannot touch this terrorist world leader. And here's why. Because there are terrorists that we find politically palatable that we will negotiate with and give money to and protect, like Yasser Arafat. And, well, he typically only kills Jews, and so there's not that much hatred among the American left
right.
in the media and our universities for Arafat, because he kills Jews, and they don't really mind that all that much.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems like to the American, you know, our universities and the media, maybe there are too many Jews anyway. Because they don't seem to care when Jews are killed by terrorists. What they do instead is defend the terrorist and blame the victims. So, it's despicable. It's like blaming a woman who's the victim of a sexual assault, blaming the victim. They blame the Jews because there are so many terrorists who kill them, so they say it must be the Jews' fault.
And it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican.
In our White House?
Yeah.
So what Israel should do is kill Arafat, but the reason they don't, why do you think they don't?
I think it's because the United States funds
Well, and even I think it's more than because we fund them. I that plays a part, but what percentage? I don't think that's the most significant percentage.
I think that's where I wanted to get your opinion.
All right. I think it's more because in all the world, what allies does Israel have? Who?
Us.
Us.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Virtually everybody else prefers the terrorist Hamas to Israel. And so we are it. We're their only friend in the world for the most part. And so, yeah, we give them a lot of money, billions of dollars every year, a few billion a year, which we shouldn't do. But we're it. So they don't want to get us. They push it all the time, and they do things that annoy our State Department on a regular basis and occasionally annoy our White House. But they push it as far as they think they can without breaking this friendship.
Yeah. Well, you know, they wouldn't be the first ally of ours to go against against what we want.
No, but they do pretty regularly.
Yeah.
You know, they do things we at least publicly say we don't want them to do. But right after 9/11, Bush should have told Sharon that they have the green light and we will support them when in any way they need support or want support to eradicate the terrorist organizations from Gaza and the West Bank, including destroying their leaders and killing Arafat.
I agree. I don't know why he wasn't included in this. What did he call the Korea and Iraq and Iran?
The Axis of Evil.
The Axis of Evil.
Well, he couldn't have been included because apparently an Axis has to have three parties. They have the Axis of Evil and then the Axis of Not So Evil. And they could have had three others.
Well, I'm glad that we're in agreement on that.
Yeah, very good, Dennis. Thanks
okay.
for
thanks
good
a lot.
Call. Appreciate that. God bless you. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And by the way, I want to make it clear. I'm not the guy who called two calls ago. I'm James. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. It's just some people, you know, when you get some idea and you want to talk it out, you just some, you know, people could get obsessed about it. So, you know, I'm not saying he's an evil guy. He's not a Christian. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, a neat Christian. It's just over the years, I've tried to, you know, and there's a reason in the Bible why the Bible doesn't deal with certain issues. Because it's too gross to deal with in polite company. And just figure out, and, you know, do what's right. All right. Let's talk about something more pleasant like suicide bombers. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So according to ABC News, the threat to New York City possibly involves a female suicide bomber, but no specific target has been identified. And intelligence sources are still trying to figure out how credible this threat is. Now, female suicide bombers, it's happened in the past. It's more common in the last 2 years than it's been up till then, but it's happened. Female suicide bombers. And do you ever wonder what has Allah promised to the female suicide bombers? Right? Because the male suicide bombers, we've heard what they get, right? What does the Quran offer the male jihadist who kills himself fighting the war? What do they get? They get 70 virgins in paradise. So then what does the female suicide bomber get? What does she get? And, you know, we've researched this, and we found out that throughout the media in the U.S., the conservative media, you can only get the answer to that question on this show, Bob and You're Alive. Basically, nobody thought to look into that. And so we did, and here's what the female suicide bombers get. They get to opt out of being one of the 70. They get to be counted out of the number. They don't have to hang out with Muhammad Atta or either of Saddam's two sons, Queasy and Fumi, or whatever they're called these days, Squishy and Gooey. So, all right, now we're going to go back to the phones here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, do I know how to pronounce this name? I don't know. I'm going to ask in Denver. Caller, how do you pronounce your name?
Oh, this is Regina.
Regina?
Yeah.
Hi, Regina. Well, welcome
to... This is
to...
Regina, yeah. My name is Regina.
Oh, Regina.
Right.
Oh, Regina.
Yep.
All right. Good old-fashioned Regina. Hi, Regina.
Hi. Okay, I have just brief three questions for you.
Yes.
Okay, number one is the Adam and Eve, they have two sons, one named Cain and the other one Abel. After Cain killed his brother Abel,
right?
Who did he got married to that we became too many?
Well, he probably killed his brother Abel when Cain was about 128 years old.
Oh, okay. Maybe they had sons and daughters then?
Yes. Genesis tells us that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. And after Abel was killed, then Eve became pregnant and gave birth to Seth when Adam was 130 years old.
Oh.
So the murder probably happened after Adam and Eve, after Cain was about 125, you know, to 128, around there. And so there could have been on the earth at that time literally thousands of people could have been on the earth at that time. But when God created Adam and Eve, they didn't have any diseases. He created them perfectly. And so Cain could marry his sister, and it wasn't harmful. It wasn't destructive. In fact, Abraham married his sister, Sarah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, now Sarah was Abraham's half-sister.
Huh.
And it was very common to marry your sister. In fact, it was mandatory originally when Adam and Eve had children. And then your sisters, cousins, and so on. And it was healthy because there was no degenerative disease in the human race, in our gene pool. None of our genes had deteriorated. We didn't have, you know, when a child is born and he has a genetic defect?
Oh, yes.
A baby the baby has a genetic problem, a degenerative disease, and the baby might be sick or might die. Well, when Adam and Eve had children, their children were virtually perfect genetically. And because we have so much degenerative problem, such a problem in our gene pool, you should not marry a close relative because you'll have a problem with some of your genes and so will your spouse because you're a close relative and your child will have only this problem and may be sick or even lethal and die. Whereas if you marry someone who's not a close relative, then where you have bad genes, they'll probably have good genes. And where they have bad genes, you'll probably have good genes. So when the father and mother come together, the child inherits the better or the functioning, the stronger genes. And so it became immoral over time to reproduce with a close relative. But originally, it was not immoral because those things that are... Regina, what makes something a sin?
Sin, if it goes against God's will.
Yeah, and God's will is those things that lead toward death are sins. So originally, that was not a sin. We'll be right back. Bob Inyard here with a live commercial break. Initially, we're talking just to those of you at kgov.com. And in 45 seconds, we'll add the Denver audience to this. But I was telling you about the subscriptions. And if you go to our website and look in our online store, you go to kgov.com. And on the top right of the homepage, there's online shopping, get Bob's materials. and you click on the subscriptions tab for subscription. And there you could check out, we've got these monthly Bible study albums. It's so much fun. Once a month it gets shipped to you. You don't even have to worry about it. Well, you have to pay the credit card bill. But other than that, you just get the tapes, pop them in on your way to work, and within a year, you're a Bible scholar. Well, not quite, but you'll learn a lot. Otherwise, your money back. Well, 30-day. So our monthly Bible study albums, welcome to those of you listening in Denver via KLTT. Our monthly Bible study albums, people who want to study the Bible with us here at Bob and Yurt Live, they can every once in a while call us up or go to our website at kgov.com and look at our Bible study albums and say, well, this one looks great on the book of Revelation, or I'd like to study Galatians or Romans or back Genesis, the fall. But on the other hand, you might think, well, I'll just let those guys ship me one album every month. And for $34.95 a month, you sign up for a subscription. And then come about the middle of each month, your postal carrier, your mail carrier, will bring you an envelope that'll have a Bible study album in it. And when you're driving back and forth to work, you pop in an audio tape. You listen at home after dinner in front of the fireplace. You have a fireplace, don't you? Well, if you don't, pop in the tape, you'll think you have a fireplace. You study the Bible. It's so much fun to study the Word. And we've got a 30-day money-back guarantee because we're confident that you'll love these Bible studies. So call us to order at 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART or on the web at kgov.com. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-NYART. Now we're going to go back to Regina. And which line was Regina on here? Regina is on line one. Okay. Regina?
Yes.
So sin is the behavior that leads toward death. And God said, don't steal, don't kidnap, don't murder, of course, don't commit adultery, don't commit incest, because these behaviors all lead toward death. They're destructive behaviors. And instead, choose life. Don't choose death, choose life. Don't sin, live righteously. And so sin is the behavior that leads toward death. And you were right when you said sin is that which is against God's will, because God wills that we choose life and not death. So when God created Adam and Eve, it was not destructive for their children to reproduce, to marry and reproduce. It led toward life. But because of sin, our genetics, our DNA is breaking down gradually every generation. It gets worse. And by the time of Moses, which was more than a couple thousand years after the creation, by the time of Moses, then to marry a close relative had become very dangerous because of disease, genetic degenerative disease. And so God said, you are not allowed to marry a close relative. But it was not that way originally. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So Cain married his sister or a cousin or a more distant relative.
I thought he was removed. God said, get away from...
Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden.
Oh, he did not. Okay.
That was 128 years earlier.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
And I have just one other two other brief questions.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Number two is, when Jesus died and suffered, that he took away all the burden that from Adam and Eve that came, that we supposed to take from them. And if he reversed that one to save us, why is there so much suffering now?
Okay. Jesus didn't take away everything that we inherited from Adam. But what he did was, in other words, when I was born, I was a child in the womb, and I was innocent and alive to God because of Christ. But then as I grew, I still inherited the flesh, from Adam. And as I grew, then I became aware of the law and this battle between right and wrong, between God and wickedness. And as all humans who reach the age of accountability, I chose to side with rebellion against God. And so I was alive to God as a baby in the womb, and when I was born, and as a young child and a toddler, the Bible says that they are alive to God and that we knew God. But then we turned against God when we reached the age of accountability. And the Bible doesn't have that phrase, the age of accountability, but it describes it. Like in Deuteronomy chapter 1, where it talks about your little ones who do not have the knowledge of good and evil. God said all the Jews would be wiped out in the wilderness because of the rebellion against God. But the little ones who did not have the knowledge of good and evil, in other words, the young ones who entered into the wilderness as children, they were not circumcised in Egypt. They were just born in the wilderness. They were the ones who were allowed to enter into the promised land. All the older ones died. So those who don't have the knowledge of good and evil, the little ones, they're the ones who haven't yet reached the age of accountability. And they are alive to God thanks to Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. Mm-hmm. Because we learn in Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, that when Adam died, death and condemnation came to all the human race. And so that we all died in Adam. And we were all made enemies of God in Adam, because Adam became an enemy of God, and the whole human race was in Adam's loins. We were in his seed. And so everything in Adam became an enemy of God. But God in the Bible says that he would never punish a child for his father's sin. So in Romans 5, it says, just as in Adam all died, so too in Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, when he died, all were justified. We were all justified of Adam's sin. So that when we are conceived in the womb, we are alive to God. And all the world knows God. But then as they grow, they turn and reject the God that they knew when they were first brought into the world.
Well, thank you. So, okay, the third one is, yeah, when people die, don't they go to either to heaven or hell?
Yes.
But when somewhere in the Bible it says, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will separate the good and bad people and say, you fed me when I was hungry.
Right.
And you gave me something to drink when I was thirsty.
Right.
So, I mean, where are we going to stay, you know?
Okay, you're talking about Matthew chapter 25, and that's a very different event than the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment that's described in the book of Revelation and elsewhere, that is when the dead, all the graves will give up the dead, and the sea will give up the dead in it, and all the mighty and the small, the rich and the poor, will stand before, all the wicked will stand before God at the Great White Throne Judgment, and we saints, we will help God judge the wicked. And that's the Great White Throne Judgment. And then they will be given their just punishment. Some will receive much punishment, Jesus said. Others will receive less punishment. And they will be cast into the lake of fire at the Great White Throne Judgment. But there's another judgment before that. And it's described, it's the judgment of the nations, described as the judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25. And that judgment is not to determine every individual, whether he's saved or not. It's not to raise up all the dead to judge all of humanity. That is, when Christ returns, he will establish on earth a kingdom. and that kingdom will be an earthly kingdom. And God will have nations and individuals enter into that kingdom. But not everyone will enter into that kingdom. Those who will not enter into the kingdom are those who were enemies of Israel. Those who did not love and support the Jews during the time of tribulation, those people would, and those nations would be killed and sent to hell. And the nations and the individuals who supported the Jews, they'll have the opportunity to enter into the kingdom. That doesn't mean all those nations will be saved and every person in the kingdom will be saved, because we know a lot of people in the kingdom will not be saved. It says a child shall die at 100, and at the end, God will unleash Satan for a short time, and there'll be a final rebellion at the end of the kingdom age, and then will be God will destroy this world and create a new heaven and a new earth. And that's right before that is the great white throne judgment. So there'll be a judgment of the sheep and the goats, which will happen right after Christ returns. And those who blessed Israel, and if you read that in Matthew 25, Jesus doesn't say, if you have faith in me, then you get saved. He says, if you blessed the Jews, if you blessed his people, then you will enter into the kingdom. And if you didn't bless his people, Israel, then you will not enter into their kingdom. See, Regina, there's a big debate among Christians. A lot of Christians think that of the hundreds of references in the Bible about Israel's kingdom, they think they're not literal references, that they're symbolic, and they really refer to heaven or to a Gentile kingdom. But I think that the hundreds of references in the Bible to Israel's kingdom are literal, and they refer to Israel's kingdom. And Jesus will establish a kingdom on earth for Israel. The Apostle Paul in Romans 11 says that God cut off Israel because they rejected their risen Messiah. But once he's fulfilled his purpose with the body of Christ, then he will return to Israel and graft them back in again. And then Israel will be saved. So God has Israel, and he has the body of Christ. In Israel, they're the people of the law. In the body of Christ, they're God's people of grace. And in the Bible, God has a covenant of law and a covenant of grace. But because millions of Christians think Israel and the body are the same group, they don't know how to separate law and grace. And so Christians mostly live under legalism, and they haven't learned how to live by grace. So, Regina, we're coming to a break. Do you want to hang on?
Okay, thank you.
We'll be right back. Bob Inyard here. I'll tell you, it's fun to study the Bible. Let me ask you some questions, see how you can do this quiz. Let's see. Let's think about Genesis. That's the beginning of the whole Bible, right? This is a live commercial break. So I could ask a quiz in the commercial break, right? At the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's where all our trouble began. What is the meaning of the name of that tree? Why is it called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why isn't it called the tree of ice cream and pickles? Or the orange tree? Why not? Why isn't it called the tree of death? Or the tree of life? Why not the tree of death? It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why is it called that? When Adam and Eve sinned, why did God curse the ground with thorns and say that Eve would have pain in childbirth? Why did he do that? Was it just like a sadistic thing? He wanted to put pain on women, so that's what he did? Why did he do that? When Noah cursed Canaan, remember that in Genesis 9? Why'd that happen? Noah got drunk. If anything, it was his fault. Noah got drunk. His son Ham saw his father's nakedness. And so Noah sobers up and he cursed Canaan, the poor little grandbaby. Why did he curse Canaan? What did he do? And then the Canaan became the father of the Canaanites. And for a couple thousand years, it was all Israel versus the Canaanites. What's with that? Why do you curse a baby because his father saw his grandfather naked? So these are some sort of simple questions that the book of Genesis begins with these issues. They're really foundational. But in my experience, a lot of Christians, it's too confusing, the Bible. So you can study with us Genesis creation, Genesis the fall, Genesis the flood. Then you get to like Jacob, and Jacob deceived his father Isaac, who was blind. And by deceiving his father, he obtained the messianic birthright. What's with that? Do you understand the Bible? How well do you understand it? Study it with us. Subscribe to the monthly Bible study album, 30-day money-back guarantee. All right, we're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YURT. I think Regina has very interesting questions. So, Regina, there's the judgment of the sheep and the goats, which is before the kingdom that Christ will usher in on earth. And then there's the great white throne judgment, which all the dead will be raised.
Okay.
And at the great white throne judgment, none of the righteous will be judged. It'll all be the wicked, if I remember that correctly. At the judgment of the sheep and the goats, it's to decide who enters the kingdom. And the righteous people enter the kingdom, and the wicked people don't. They get killed. But at the great white throne judgment, by then, all the wicked, you know, the wicked are judged at the great white throne judgment. The righteous are not. We are judging at that judgment. We are the judges. Have you ever heard that we Christians will judge the wicked on judgment day?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you heard that.
I heard that, but when my confusion is that when a soul dies, when a person dies, does he go, if he's a righteous person, I think he goes straight to Jesus and Jesus would take him to the Father.
Amen.
That's what it is going to happen, isn't it?
Yes, because God in the Bible says, through the Apostle Paul, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Okay.
So as soon as you're absent from your body, death, what is death? You did a good job when I asked what is sin, Regina. So I'll put you on the spot again. What is death?
Death. That's the separation of the soul and body.
You're so good, Regina. Death is separation. That's what it is. Spiritual death is separation from God. And physical death is when your soul, spirit are separated from your body. When your spirit leaves your body, then you're dead.
So we're going to have a new body then?
Yes. I
but
can't
we're
wait.
We're not going to be like angels.
Not right away. We won't have our new body. Say the Christians who died yesterday in the last 2,000 years, they don't have their new bodies yet in heaven. They're waiting for the culmination of this current dispensation when God is done with the body of Christ and he brings the last generation of believers up to heaven. At that point, the dead who are in Christ already will receive their new bodies. That Paul describes those bodies in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But now, you might have another question, Regina, but let me ask you a question.
Okay.
This is the third one, and this is going to be, this is,
I'm done, though. I don't have, maybe
okay.
I'll call you next time.
All right,
I have
well,
too many questions, but not.
All right, well, that was good. Those three okay. questions were great, and I asked you two, so I get one last one.
Okay.
So let me ask you this one. This is a good one.
Okay.
Here's the question. When, I'm going to quote to you something from the Bible.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave like a fill in the blank, and I'm going to see if you could fill in the blank for me.
Okay.
All right?
I'll try.
All right.
I don't know that much.
It's a little bit of a trick question because a lot of Christians would not get it.
Okay.
It's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, and it says this. The Apostle Paul wrote it, and he wrote, "The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the blank."
the strength of sin.
Yeah, now the very last word of this verse, I'm going to leave blank. So,
okay.
So I'll read you the verse, and the last word I'll say blank, and see if you could fill it in.
Okay.
And if you get it, I'll be amazed. The vast majority of Christians do not get this.
Because we didn't study theology. Well, mostly right.
Here it is. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the blank. What do you think it is?
The strength of the sin. What could it be?
Yeah, what makes sin so strong?
You get blind, you don't have the Holy Spirit wisdom, and you are totally under the control of the devil.
Well, that doesn't fit in one word.
No, it doesn't, but I don't know how to come up.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, well, you did good. You got 2 out of 3.
Okay.
Let me give you the answer here. This is the answer that the Apostle Paul wrote.
Okay.
The strength of sin is the law.
The law?
The law.
Ah.
L-A-W, the law. And why would the strength of sin be the law? Well, here's what the Apostle Paul says in a bunch of different verses. I'll put it in my own words, though.
Okay.
If you know the idea of the forbidden fruit, when you tell someone he can't have something, like let's say you have 5 kids playing in your living room.
Okay.
And they've been playing for 2 hours, and there's a book sitting on a coffee table. And it's a dictionary.
Uh-huh.
And they never once cared about the book. But then you said to these 5 kids, you said, all right, kids, I'm going in the dining room. I'm going to leave you in here. There's a book on this coffee table. I don't want you to touch it. Don't touch the book. And especially don't look at it. And then you leave the room.
Uh-huh.
What do you think those kids are going to be thinking about?
Oh, they're going to run and look at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's called the forbidden fruit. We get that from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the law. When you have a law that says don't do it, like don't eat of the tree.
Right.
There's some chance that the people will break that law. Right. Some chance.
Yes.
They might break it. But what if you have 10 laws? If you have 10 laws, there's some chance that the people are going to break all 10 so that they become greater lawbreakers.
Uh-huh. Okay, I get it.
In the Mosaic law, then, God gave 300 and some laws. And the more laws he gave to Israel, the more evil they became. So that the Apostle Paul writes that the law gives passion to your evil desires. That's a bit of a paraphrase of Romans chapter 7. And then Paul said that the law was given so that sin would become exceedingly wicked. God gave the law so that sin might become exceedingly sinful. And why would God give the law? Why would God do anything so that sin would become exceedingly wicked? Why would, Regina, now I know I shouldn't cheat, this is a fourth question. Why would God do that?
Well, he wants to give us freedom because he doesn't force people to do.
Well, that he does want to give us freedom, but why would he do anything to make sin exceedingly wicked? Let me tell you what Paul says.
Okay.
If people think they're good enough on their own to get to heaven, then they might not care about Jesus because Jesus died on the cross. Why? Well, maybe why? He had nothing better to do that day? No, he died on the cross to save us from our sins. And so if we think we're good enough to get to heaven on our own, then we don't really have a reason to care about why Jesus died on the cross. But if we see that we are sinful, that we hurt ourselves and we hurt others, the ones we love the most, we typically hate. The ones we love the most are usually the ones we hurt the most. The ones that we're the most rude to are the ones we love the most. Why is that? You know, a husband and a wife will bicker and be rude to each other, and then they'll go to the grocery store, and the guy will be as nice as could be to the checkout clerk. Rude to the one you love and nice to a stranger. And so, right, because we hurt one another. And God wants us to know that we're sinners and that we need forgiveness from God. So he gave the law. He gave one law, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve ate. He gave the Ten Commandments, people break all 10. He gave the 300 laws in the Mosaic Law, they break all 300. And the more laws God gave, the more wicked Israel became. And not just Israel, the whole world. So that's why the Apostle Paul says that the strength of sin is the law.
Wow, thank you very much. And one more question, that's it.
All right, then we're tied 4-4. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. See, remember it says, whoever, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
The salvation only is the salvation is only through Jesus Christ.
Yes. What is
all
that?
All the people who don't believe in Jesus, are they going to go to hell?
The people who reject Jesus Christ will
right.
go
for
to
example,
hell.
Sorry to interrupt you,
that's
but
right.
for example, you see the Jewish people, Jesus was a Jew, and I do respect Jewish people very much, so, but they reject Jesus.
Right.
And they don't even, I don't know, the Christianity was started by Peter and Paul, whatever, the,
right.
you know, that society.
They were Jews. Peter
they
and Paul
Jewish.
Were Jews.
Yeah.
Jesus was Jewish.
Yeah, and how come they don't become Christians like us? And how come, I mean, if there is no salvation but through Jesus Christ, and where the rest of the world is going to go?
All right. Well, my stepdad, Albert Sharon, is Jewish. And he became a Christian. He's a believer in Christ.
Oh,
and yeah, and he's a committed, strong Christian. But most Jews have rejected Jesus Christ, but so have most Gentiles. But I would say that a higher percentage of Jews have rejected Jesus Christ than Gentiles, which is sad because Jesus Christ is Jewish and he came to be Israel's Messiah. And Jesus, see, some Christians think, well, if the Jews are good Jews, that's good enough. If they follow Moses, then they're okay. But Jesus said to the Jews who were following Moses, he said, you don't believe in Moses because Moses spoke of me. And if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me. But since you reject me, it shows that you're rejecting the Father who sent me and you're rejecting Moses. And he said, you say you're sons of Abraham, but Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and you reject me. So, Regina, we need to pray for the Jews, to witness to them, to tell them about Jesus Christ. And God hasn't given up on Israel. Romans 11 is a great chapter on that topic, by the way.
Okay, thanks, Bob, for taking my call.
God bless you, Regina.
God bless you. Take care.
Thank you. What a neat, neat woman. That's just so encouraging to me when people study the Bible. It's fun. And at Denver Bible Church, that's our specialty. People specialize in different things, you know, programs, drama, plays, band, music. We got great music. We don't have much drama, except around the donut table. But Bible teaching, that's our thing. And if you enjoy the Bible and you want to meet a group of people that you could study with and worship the Lord with, then come on out to Denver Bible Church this Sunday. It's our Christmas service when we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you bring an unbeliever, we give you our word. We will do our best to show that person that there's good reason to believe in Jesus Christ. So come on out this Sunday. We're right near Hampton and Wadsworth. Call us for directions. Or look on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.